we were talking about the variety in Divergence in 1967. Up, Up and Away, Fifth Dimension. Then, of course, The Supremes and something... Well, there it is. Whiter Shade of Pale, Procol Harum. What? Just all that diversity. And those three, of course, were not meant to segue, but were indeed.
But what about Chrysalis?
Yes. And what about Tonto's expanding headband?
Tonto's expanded, I think, or is it expanding headband? And
Bronco.
Yeah, that's right. 5 minutes and 38 seconds.
Right, you got
we
it.
All remember the times of records. I wonder why that is, Scott. I'm one of two.
Time has come today, Chambers Brothers. 11 minutes and...
3 seconds.
11:03.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, it's 11.
How about The End by The Doors?
Same thing, 11 and change. As a matter of fact, when the music's over, it was 12.
Do you remember a young lady who used to work for the station named Jeannie Turner?
Yes, I think you remember her.
I do. I'm reminded of her because of the 12 minutes. Does that say anything at all?
I think, well...
Alice's
you
restaurant...
You could never last 12 minutes now. All you need is a 2 minute and 30 second record.
Alice's restaurant helped. Inagata DeVita helped tremendously.
Oh, Inagata DeVita was good for forever, right?
There was a girl named Naomi also.
Yes. I know that the general manager at the time inquired about use of his office. I assume it was on business, of course.
Oh, it was absolutely. We sat listening to Inagata DeVita, evaluating it for future use. I'm one of the two men who was hired before you.
Yes, you are.
On the face of the earth. Just by seconds. But I started, and I am Jonathan Schwartz, I started on the 16th of November, Roscoe on the 31st of October, and you on Monday, December the 18th, 1967.
And what a crew. Now, this is a great time to let everyone know that we worked 7 days a week live.
For years, yeah. Not just for 3 months.
No, that was well over a year.
And it's a good time to let everyone know that we worked 7 days a week live for 5 hours every day.
Yes, and do you want to perhaps bring up the money that we receive for 7 days live?
I recall my paycheck.
People like to think that, you know, your golden tower, your ivory tower, and its lavish furnishings.
Well, you were already Scott Muni, and I was Pip Squeakian, so your check may have amounted to more when push came to shove, but
I don't think so, knowing George Duncan. I think we all worked for the same thing.
George Duncan was the general manager.
Yes.
Who he himself took a tremendous pay cut.
He took a $30,000 a year pay cut to go from a salesman to a general manager.
I saw his paycheck on his desk. I don't know how it happened, but I saw in the dead of night, I don't know even what I was doing there in the dead of night, his paycheck was $32,000.
Right.
I was making $175 a week.
As we all were, because that's exactly what the AFTRA scale was,
mm-hmm.
The union scale. That was for 7 days.
Five hours?
Yes.
Now that's 35 hours a week for each of us.
On the air.
Roscoe, you, and me, on the air.
And Allison Steele, who had carried over from the all-female format, was mm-hmm. there. And Clavin did the morning show for a long time because we had no one in the
morning. Of course, was simulcast, mm-hmm. and Clavin with D. Finch. They were on both stations, WNAW AM and FM, for what, 2 or 3 years?
Well, quite a while, because for some reason there was this thing about people who listen to FM don't need anything in the morning. I don't care about music or anything, and so they kind of carried over the news and information stuff in the morning. And
let's see how many actual NEWFM morning people you and I can name.
All right, well, we'll start with Clavin and Finch, which we
I'll have continue to do. Briskly on to Dick Summers.
All right, and then I will use Zacherly, John Zacherly, and Johnny Michaels. Zacherly was in and out of the morning a couple of times. He couldn't see well.
Zacherly kind of was in and out.
And he used to give the time improperly, usually by an hour or two, so that people would have a heart attack on the way to work, saying, God, it's 9:10.
Now, was there anyone else who acted as a morning man? You've correctly named Zacherly, and I remember Johnny Michaels, Dick Summers, of course, Clavin and Finch to begin, but they weren't a part of our team. Who else, if anyone?
Mike Harrison do a couple of weeks, maybe a month?
It's possible.
Mike did.
Then there was the interesting question of a guy named Bill Royster. Do you recall?
A news person.
No. He became a part of the station for a very little while. You had been named the program director. And there was a fellow I think you've forgotten about whose name was Bill Royster.
Oh, no, I don't forget Bill Royster. I remember the name. Did he do the morning? Well, we had several people. Okay.
No, he was on the station in some capacity. I've forgotten which capacity, but there was some controversy.
Well, Dan O'Neill recently and Richard Neer, different times. And
well, Richard came along, as I recall it, with Harrison.
Yes, he did, from LIR on Long Island. They both had worked at LIR. They came as a package.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, the new general manager of the station was Varner Paulson at the time that I became program director.
I got a letter from Varner about 6 months ago. He's retired, lives outside of San Francisco with his wife, Gerda.
Yes.
And,
great man. He's a good man. He was always fair to me.
He was very fair to me. He was affectionate towards both of us, and he was helpful to the station. And he listened to the music. He took it seriously.
One thing he did, after he made me program director, and I went to him with a proposal that we expand the staff and that we take us off 7 days a week live, and that we have people to work the weekend shows live, because when things happen, we should have someone there to talk about it rather than have a tape on the air. And it worked.
Yep, that's quite true.
But was the thing I considered.
Varner didn't name you general, the program director. George Duncan did.
Well, Varner asked me if I wanted to be program director, and I told him no, that I had no, I had no aspirations to get into management at all, that I just like the music and I like doing what I'm doing. And he said, well, think it over, because I want you to be. And, I want you to really think about it. And, it took a long time, because I really...
I'll tell you this.
Still, I haven't gone into management.
I'll tell you this. I am not unaware of certain problems I caused at the time, nor am I unaware of your strong championing of me in the face of adversity over a very long period of time, for which to this day I am thankful, Scott. I'm not talking about anything egregious. I'm just simply saying that I am aware of your support for me as friend and program director at that time on WNEW-FM. And I recall also the rating book that we got. And I bring this up generically because it's more involved with our music, as we even hear it today, than it is specifically with WNEW-FM, because it put our music over. We were diddling along with a 1.8 or a 2.2, and then a rating book came in that simply said 9.2.
Yes.
And in those days, that rating service was called the Pulse book.
The Pulse, right.
And we went from a 2.2, let's say, to a 9.2, and we all considered it a fluke, and the next Pulse book came out and it said a 9.3. And there the station has remained really in that neck of the woods forever. But it was at that moment that the music that we were playing and programming ourselves was validated demographically and politically and by a mass audience that stayed and has stayed a mass audience for 20 years. Really, because that not only helped, of course, perpetuate WNEW-FM, but it sold the music. It you know what I mean, it authenticated the music. Just a huge rating, and FM radio had never known anything like this at the time.
That's
so
right.
Suddenly, WNEW-FM, this infant, overcame powerful AM opposition with a 9.1, 2, 3, and 4 that stayed that way to this day.
And I think that's the interesting thing, because here it is 20 years later, and the viable force is there. Many people have come after that. They just haven't done it.
Well, let's be fair. The market is substantially more splintered. And they're
fragmented, yes,
sure.
All over.
When we started, as I say, FM was in its infancy, and there weren't all that many stations. But in point of fact, that 9.2 and 3, as we played Cream, and those wonderful, dirty, sexy Stones records from the mid-60s and everything the Beatles were putting out and Joni Mitchell and Judy Collins. This is before Carly Simon, which was 1971. And, of course, Jefferson Airplane. And particularly, you taught me about Jimi Hendrix. I learned all my Hendrix from you, as well as the esoteric groups. And I'll tell you how those groups got on, and I think it was healthy, and you recognized it as such. Groups like the Chocolate Watch Band and Chrysalis and so on. It was in the spirit of competition, and I felt very competitive with Roscoe. I wanted to get on anything that I felt was good as soon as possible and beat him to the punch. And I felt that that competition lent an attractiveness to the station, and even though the music may have been considered a little esoteric or unknown, it was new after all. The point of the matter was, Scott, that it was new and it was getting on and it was getting heard, and we were the place and the only place in the city at which it could be realized. And as a result of our success, the spin-off stations began to proliferate. KMET, of course, in Los Angeles, KSAN in San Francisco, BCN in Boston, and throughout the country. It was that Pulse book that went to a 9.2 that so helped this great rock and roll music.
It also helped us get off 7 days live and also got us a raise in money. Jonathan Schwartz is our guest.
We've been assigned. We've really enjoyed having you here. But enough simply is enough. Well, some things never change.
We're the FM
Jonathan.
This is going to be our
time. Speaking of money.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's at the Meadowlands tonight and tomorrow. Kiss and Ted Nugent are at the Meadowlands Sunday. Dio and Megadeth are at Nassau New Year's Eve. Whitesnakes at Nassau January 22nd, the Meadowlands January 31st. Stings at the Garden February 3rd and Nassau February 7th. Buster Poindexter's at the Beacon New Year's Eve. Chuck Berry's at Limelight New Year's Eve. Frank Zappa's at the Beacon February 4th, 5th, and 6th. Tom Paxton and Schooner Fair are at the Bottom Line tonight. The Caroling Carolers are at the Bottom Line tomorrow and Sunday. The Brandos and Guadalcanal Diary are at the Ritz tonight. Hot Tuna with Paul Kantner's at the Ritz tomorrow. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts are at the Ritz New Year's Eve. George Thies is at the Stone Pony tonight. Ja Love's at the Stone Pony tomorrow. The Romantics are at Obsessions tonight. The Outlaws will be at Obsessions New Year's Eve. Johnny Winter's at Club Binet tomorrow. The Marshall Tucker Band's at the Lone Star tonight. And tomorrow, Screamin' Jay Hawkins will be at the Lone Star Sunday. Bobby Bandiera and the Asbury All-Stars are at Escapades tonight. Bums in the Park and Louie and the Losers are at Escapades tomorrow. Otis Rush will be at Tramps tonight tomorrow. I'm Jim Monahan. If you missed something, call the WNEW-FM Concert Happenings Hotline at 212-697-7997.
Yes. Budweiser Rock and Roll presents Yes. Tonight and the final show tomorrow night at Meadowlands Arena. Brilliant, astonishing, powerful. Yes. Now two incredible nights live. The complete and remarkable Yes spectacle. Yes. Tonight and tomorrow nights at Meadowlands Arena. Yes. Reserve seat tickets now at Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster Charge, the Capitol Theater and Meadowlands Box Office. The two incredible nights of Yes, produced by John Scherer. For all you do, this bud's for you.
Chrysler Plymouth dealers have been on a roll, and they're going to keep the momentum going. Announcing the Super 7 Sale on every new 87 Chrysler LeBaron GTS coupe and convertible they have in stock. You get $770 cash back. And when you finance them through Chrysler Credit Corporation, you also get low 7.7 annual percentage rate financing that saves you even more. Compare 7.7% with conventional 11.2% financing over 48 equal monthly payments. With 10% down, you can save $1,039 in financing alone on LeBaron Convertible with a base sticker price of $14,399, including destination charges. Title and taxes are extra. 770 cash plus 7.7 financing. That's over 1,800 in savings, a new Chrysler in your garage, and a 7-year or 70,000-mile protection. protection plan in the glove compartment. See this limited warranty at your dealer. Certain restrictions apply. Chrysler Plymouth Super 7 sale. Come in today. It's too good to last.
It's here. It's now. B.C. Richards' 78th birthday. It's a big event. We're saluting our 78 years of integrity and guaranteed lowest prices. Four generations of Richard family reliability. We're celebrating by slashing prices on every item in every one of our 17 supersized showrooms.
I'd rather buy SPC.
78 years of reliability and low prices mean PC Richards customers always shop with confidence. Quality appliances, TVs, CDs, VCRs, audio, all at slashed prices. Saluting our 78th birthday. Be there.
I'd rather buy SPC. SPC Richards.
Right now, just in time for Christmas, most retail stores are selling merchandise at full price. Well, listen to this. Now through Christmas at all five Mount Everest ski shops, you can save 50%. That's right. You can buy a pair of skis on sale and get a pair of bindings at half price. Or select a parka from 26 different brands of clothing and get a pair of stretch pants at 50% off. Buy your friend a sweater from Mount Everest's $10 million inventory and get your sweater at half price. Bring in a friend, buy your gifts together, and get 50% off the second item. Don't wait until after Christmas. Save 50% right now at all five Mount Everest ski shops. That's right. During Mount Everest store-wide Christmas sale, you can save 50% on this season's hottest new merchandise. Mount Everest ski shops in Westwood, Wayne, Nanuet, Mahwah, and Toms River.
Save 50% right now at all five Mount Everest ski shops. Call 201-696-5000. That's 201-696-5000. Mount Everest ski shops.
And then I said, I was pulled away, curtailed by Dennis Elsis, right in the middle of a story, and Dave Herman, who all have gathered, and Fornatel will be in a little while, once again, with the most affection possible, Scott, wishing you the best 20th anniversary in the hopes that we know you and experience you on the radio and as friends for another 20 years. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Jonathan, because certainly we share a lot of memories and so many things in the past. This could... stories, some of which should be written, I assume.
And we just scratched the
surface. You're the writer.
Well, I wouldn't call it the impossible dream, but in the form of a very...
Write that down.
In the form of a novel.
Okay.
You know, about the late 60s.
It is true. A lot of things are... You know, 1967 wasn't just Sgt. Pepper. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Scott Muni, but there was San Francisco and Flowers, and all this thing was going on around the world. We have to cover this. We really do. In 1967, for instance, where else would you go to a concert at the Singer Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
67, 68, actually, this concert was. It was right after I got underway. But there on the same bill would be people like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and a group called The Doors. All on the same bill? We lost a lot of those good people.
Untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Well, that's just a pretty good example of what great talent we had. As the late 67, 68, 69 period entered, it started to expand and got a lot of good music, right, Dave Herman?
Well, Scott, all I can do is, and because I'm going to have to leave here and get myself ready to get over to the Meadowlands, and Dennis and Peter are about to come in and join Scott, The only thing that I really wanted to let folks know is the first time I ever met you, I was a big fan of Scott's from WABC and Scotland Yard days, and of course his work on any WFM, was when you offered me a job here. And the first time you did, I didn't take it. Remember
no,
that?
No, and you said, Scott, you know how much money I'm making? And you had a really good deal and everything.
I was a station that, as of today, no longer exists. Yeah. WPLJ. It's gone, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where I was. And I was doing a lot of syndicated work for the ABC
you
network.
You were the person responsible for those call letters.
That's right. White port and lemon juice. Anyway, you called me up and we came over and that was the first time we met and he offered me a job. And actually, a few months later, we kept in touch with each other. And the first time anybody ever mentioned working on early in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning was you. And I thought I would fall off the chair laughing. I said, I could never do a morning show. And Scott said, if anyone I know, you're the best candidate to do our morning show.
That's true.
So I have a lot to thank this guy
for. And rolled on the ground and said, you are a wacko.
That's right.
Which, of course, I was and still am. I mean, that I can't deny. But I remember that. You said, no way.
No way I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
And there was a time not long ago that Dave left the mornings. And then wandered around a little at various other times on the air and wasn't really happy. I said, Dave, morning, right? I said, yeah, I think you were right in the first place.
Yeah,
never would have admitted that you were right, but I think you're right. I really love the morning. I said, well, stand by. And Dave is our wonderful morning.
And I have you to thank for all of that. And everybody knows how much I love you and a happy anniversary. We want you here for a long, long, long time. There would be no WNEWFM without Scott Muni. That's not overstating it. That's not paying you a compliment. That's just telling it like it is. There really would not be a WNEWFM right now, this moment, if there wasn't Scott Muni.
Thank you, Dave. But remember this, too. Why do you think I came after you? Not once, but twice. The second time it worked. First time didn't, but I stayed with it. You know, because you knew our music and you had that love in you, you know, and you had that loyalty and that devotion thing that is part of WNEWFM.